The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to Ice Time, the Buffalo News' hockey podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, the Sabres beat writer for the Buffalo News, joined as always by Mike Harrington. And Mike, another eventful one, of course. You reported live from Florida for the trade deadline. You filled everybody in, instant analysis after the big trade. But it's time to circle back because an eventful day around Sabres Lane on Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, you know, you go to practice and you think it's just a routine normal day after a win over Edmonton, and they're going to get on the plane and go to Detroit, practice for 20 or 25 minutes. Nice, simple, normal, boring day. Not. We were actually sitting watching practice when the Paul Bissonnette clip emerged on social media discussing Rasmus Dahlin. And of course, that meant we had to go ask Rasmus Dahlin after the practice was over what he thought of Paul Bissonnette's I don't know what word I should use to describe it. It's not a scoop. It's not news. It's not
speculation, maybe. Yeah, secondhand speculation in terms of what was said.
I prefer to call it idle garbage, basically. That's how I refer to it, but I'll get to that in a second. And, you know, Dahlin was clearly briefed by Sabres PR. He was not happy about it. He told them point blank, bring the media to me. Well, we actually hadn't talked to Dahlin about the deadline anyway. That was one of the plans, and this happened. So obviously we wanted to get his reaction. And I would certainly say that Rasmus Dahlin was as forceful as he could have been in saying this was garbage. And I mean, I think one of the things that happened here, first of all, is if Rasmus Dahlin went and talked to Kevin Adams and wasn't upset about the way this season was gone, I would question Rasmus Dahlin as the captain of this club. Every captain goes and meets with their GM before the deadline. Kevin Adams invited Rasmus Dahlin into his office. He told us that in Florida. I invited Rasmus to come see me. We talked for over an hour this week before the deadline. It happens all the time across the league. And I'm sure Rasmus Dahlin made some points about what he was upset about. Kevin Adams made the point to us that Rasmus Dahlin was not happy and wanted to see some things happen. That's what your captain should do. He should have an open dialogue with the general manager. So from that standpoint, everything is normal. You know, Bissonnette has emerged as a terrific studio analyst for TNT. He's really developed over time as a good voice for hockey broadcasts. He is really good breaking down tape and breaking down what you just saw in the first period. He's funny at times. Go to the playoffs last year. Look up his video of the knee-drop pumpernickel on the Capitals' goal in the one playoff game. It's hilarious. What he doesn't understand is he has an increased profile because of his role on TNT. And he's not just an idle blogger, F-bombing and making jokes with his boys like he's done on Spit and Chicklets before he became a TNT personality and really one of the faces of broadcasting in the league. Everything he says now has an elevated status, whether it's complete garbage or whether it's real. And the ultimate thing I can say here about this, Lance, he goes on Merrick's show, and I love Merrick's show. He goes on Merrick's show wearing a Leafs hat, completely walking himself back. Well, it's not necessarily, it's something I kind of believe, you know, that he's not going to really want to stick around. Walking back, it's something he heard. These are from the insiders. It was complete garbage. And you know what? If I'm the Sabres, I don't know how the Sabres it'll play out in Detroit. I would tell TNT in Detroit, you're not getting camera shots of our players walking in. You're not getting a camera in the locker room. You're not getting a player on the pregame show. You're not getting Lindy on the bench. You're not getting anybody postgame if we win. I would say to TNT, you're suspended for a night. Right there. That's it. All because of Bissonnette.
Yeah, if you were actually confident about what he put out there, then Spit and Chicklets would have actually amplified it on social media, but they didn't even mention it. If one of the top 10 defensemen in the league actually verbalized to a general manager that he may want out, it would be a massive story. They would be amplifying it. They'd be promoting it. There was no mention of it. He buried it at the end of the podcast. I think there was some level of trolling to it. Of course, he heard about the meeting. I think there's some speculation secondhand. based on the conversations I've had with people, yes, Dahlin is upset. He was upset last season. He's upset this season. And he wanted to hear from Kevin Adams, how do you plan to fix this? What are you doing at the deadline? Are you re-signing Jason Zucker and Jordan Greenway? What are we going to do in the coming months to make sure this doesn't happen again? Because Dahlin is, he doesn't want to lose anymore. You know, he has played through injury throughout this season, and he still played at an extremely high level, Mike. So, yes, and I think there's a lot of frustration in that dressing room right now. I get it, and that's why you kept hearing all of these names attached to trade rumors, whether it be Alex Tuch, J.J. Paterka, of course, Dylan Cousins got moved.
I was pretty frustrated yesterday, Tuesday, too, having to deal with this.
Well, and that's what happens. And I think it is frustrating for the reasons that you mentioned, that somebody with that platform just thinks that they can throw something out there and that it's not going to carry any weight. And, you know, and players give their time. Teams make their players available to Bissonnette and Ryan Whitney in that podcast routinely. And you would think that they would respect, you know, they had to have, like, Bissonnette had to have known, or maybe he didn't even think about this, that he was putting Rasmus Dahlin in an almost impossible situation by putting that out there. Right. Because if there were any amount of truth to it, then you're suggesting the captain of an NHL team shared a private one-on-one conversation with the general manager with a podcaster. But it's not good. So if I'm a player in the league and I see that, I'm saying, what the heck? I'm not going to talk to these guys again. But it is really interesting. I think this just goes, what people I don't think realize is that Rasmus Dahlin behind the scenes, and this goes on about 2 years, he has been very vocal. And because he knows, as somebody, he's one of the faces of this franchise. And if somebody's going to step up and really, and tell, whether it's the coach or the general manager, this or this, this and this need to change, his voice carries weight throughout the organization. So he's going to use it. He's going to speak for his teammates. He's going to speak for himself. And yeah, it just goes to show his leadership. And, you know, he wanted to make sure they were keeping Zucker. He wanted to make sure they were keeping players. So as much as I think that there's a lot of talk and speculation about, you know, guys want out, this, you know, this is just going to be a repeat of the Jack Eichel situation. It's not. So it's not. It's not the same situation.
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
On the topic two, I think that we can just wrap up on that one. And you talked about the Dylan Cousins trade, Mike, but I think that let's circle back and, you know, we've seen Jonathan Lewis play two games. He's obviously going to play his third tonight. What have your initial thoughts been on him? We've obviously, Dylan Cousins has played well in Ottawa. I've liked what I've seen from Norris. There are two different types of players. It's just going to be interesting to track this trade over the next couple of years to see how it shakes out for both sides.
Yeah, and I've liked Norris so far. Certainly, I liked him in the Edmonton game. He created the winning goal for Tage Thompson. But I do think you have to understand the mental gymnastics involved with this trade. Dylan Cousins goes from Buffalo to Ottawa, and he is going to be all kinds of fired up and have all kinds of adrenaline because he picked up 13 points in the standings, and he's suddenly in a wild card spot in the middle of the race. Josh Norris suddenly went to the Buffalo Sabres. So he's going to feel a lot like Colin Miller did when he was traded in the summer from Vegas in 2021. He's going to feel a lot like Bowen Byram did last year coming from Colorado, and you have to adjust to a new environment, a new locker room, whatever. I think Josh Norris is going to be fine. I think he's going to give the Sabres a lot of help on both special teams, which is where they really need it. He's going to give them a lot of help on faceoffs where they need it. I think there's going to have to be some patience held with Josh Norris because of that problem of suddenly being out of the playoffs. And I think we have to understand, too, this was a trade that they needed to do something. They could not do anything because the fan base and the media were going to roil if Kevin Adams walked in that hotel room in Florida and just traded Henry Jokiharju and did not do much else. And I think that was one of the things they just had to shake the locker room up. And I think right now in the short term, you know, Cousins is going to give Ottawa more. I don't know if that's going to last long term. We'll see next year. But it's tough to it would have been tough for Adams to do nothing. And I think they just needed to make that shakeup. And, you know, Norris, you feel bad for the guy. I mean, you go to the Buffalo Sabres right now, your season's over in a month. And he was thinking all the while, he's with the Ottawa Senators, him and his boy Brady Tkachuk are going to the playoffs. And that rug got pulled out from underneath them. And that's a tough thing to swallow for a player.
You heard Kevin Adams when he spoke to you and the other reporters in Florida mention that he was looking to change the dynamic of his team. Not necessarily even, you know, he's going to improve in some ways with this trade. You mentioned special teams, but he wanted to get a different personality in that room. Now, they did a nice, like, Jason Zucker has been an invaluable piece in terms of the leadership that he brings behind the scenes. I think that that can't be overlooked. That is also why they brought, they're bringing back Jordan Greenway. They prioritize giving him another contract, and that is going to be continue to be part of their decision making moving forward. How do we change up? Just a lot of these guys have done nothing but lose, and that includes Dylan Cousins. And it's not that I'm not saying that he was a negative voice. In fact, he really wanted to be in Buffalo. Some fans, especially hearing his initial comments in Ottawa, were suggesting that he wanted out. He did not want out. I mean, you saw how devastated he was after the trade. You were in the hotel when he was walking out, leaving. He did not want to leave. He wanted to be part of the solution so badly. I think that he placed this enormous amount of pressure on himself, and this trade, that pressure is gone, and he's playing a lot more free, and I think that was never going to happen again in Buffalo under the current circumstances. I don't want giving up a second-round pick in addition to Cousins of that deal, but again, do they need more draft picks? Are we really going to nitpick that part of it? The only part of this deal that matters is whether Josh Norris infuses that top six with skill, leadership, and those other qualities that you mentioned. They needed another difference maker on special teams as well, particularly the power play. So this cannot, and this will not, be the only change that we see. I think that Kevin Adams laid out a few of his objectives in the coming months in his talk with you guys. One of them was a new D partner for Owen Power. We've only been talking about that for over, what, 4 years of this? Well, almost 4 years at this point, Mike. Well, 3 years for sure. But
we hadn't even asked him about that yet, and he brought it up on his own.
And he needed to, because it's a very glaring weakness in their lineup right now. They are going to do everything possible to – they're going to give J.J. Paterka, I think, a big contract this summer, whether that's through having to match an offer sheet or getting him to sign on the dotted line on a seven-year deal. Like, he is somebody that I believe they have identified as their core moving forward. And then it's a matter of convincing Alex Tepp to extend. What do you do with other pieces on your roster? But – again, what if this goes wrong? Lonnie Smith, is Kevin Adams making, is he going to be the one making decisions? I mean, Terry Pagula is not happy with the way this season has gone. No. Lindy Ruff is not happy with the way this season has gone, and he's scratching his head wondering, you know, some of the pieces on this roster, some of the players that have been rushed, and, you know, the decline. You know, he wants this roster molded into maybe his vision on what it's going to take for this team to keep the puck out of its own net. And that's the big thing. They are bad defensively.
They've been bad defensively. Here's two things, quick things on the Cousins trade, Lance, first of all. All right, people probably would surmise, I went to Florida. I went to the Sabres hotel for the deadline. In case something went down, I was in the hotel lobby, and something went down. Dylan Cousins got traded, and yes, I ran into Dylan Cousins, okay? Obviously, I was trying to run into Dylan Cousins. That's kind of the job. And I said to him, can we talk? Do you have any comment on the trade? I've done this probably 15 times on this beat, sometimes on the road, sometimes at home. And Dylan Cousins said to me, I just can't talk right now. It's a little fresh. I'm like, I totally understand. I asked him one time. That was it. I said, Dylan, I just want to thank you for being so cooperative with us. You've spoken to us in a lot of tough times. I shook his hand. I said, good luck in Ottawa. I'm sure I'll see you soon in a couple weeks. And he couldn't even speak. He broke down and started crying. And that's how emotional he was about leaving the Buffalo Sabres. And he did it again. I saw him leaving the hotel with a bunch of players, exchanging hugs at the carport out the door. So he was very upset and unhappy. So no one should construe anything Dylan Cousins says in Ottawa as a shot against the Buffalo Sabres at all. He's thrilled to be in a playoff race. I'm sure he's going to be happy with the Ottawa Senators. This was not in the cards for him. Okay. The second point is, I don't think it's not a factor here. Dylan Cousins was in the middle of that weirdness in Tampa two nights earlier, where Rasmus Dahlin was getting mugged and he was standing there watching. And I'm sure a lot of people noticed that. And there's been talk about Dylan Cousins getting traded for a while. And I think that was the final straw where they said, we got to pull the trigger and change something here, because Ray Ferraro killed the Sabres on the ESPN broadcast in that particular situation.
I don't disagree with you, but Josh Norris isn't going to fix that problem.
But so, you eradicated Dylan Cousins in the way to make a movie. You said, all right, let's just pull the trigger on this deal. So now the question comes, and go back to what you said, is Kevin Adams the guy? And I think he's the guy because Terry Pegula let him make this kind of seismic trade. But you're right. The one reason he might not be the guy is in these last 20 games, if they fall apart, if they go 5-15, how many season ticket holders say, forget this? How many people say enough is enough? And I think there is still a lot of wiggle room there for Adams not to be the GM. He's got a year left. Lindy's got a year left. They're kind of aligned. But it's a trust issue. Terry doesn't trust people. He's never trusted people since Pat LaFontaine, since Botterill. He doesn't trust people he doesn't know. So who's he going to hire that he's going to trust more than Kevin Adams? That's a Terry Pegula problem. That's one of the issues here. He does not trust anybody anymore. The only person he trusts is Kevin Adams, and Kevin Adams is, you know, going together with Terry Pegula to run this hockey team into the ground.
He also trusts Lindy Ruff, and I wouldn't discount that. I think, yeah. And when these conversations were had in terms of who of the re-signing Greenway and Zucker, as well as trading Cousins in this Norris deal, I was told that Terry asked Lindy, "What do you think?" Because no matter what happens in the future, whoever the GM is going to be, are these players people that we can build around in the future, and that we know that what Lindy Ruff thinks about Jason Zucker and Jordan Greenway.
Yeah.
So no matter who is sitting at the GM desk in June and July, they would want those players. So I think that is important to you know, it's not like you traded JJ Paterka for spare parts or something like that. No. You still have a really good nucleus here that if you do decide to make a change, this would be a very attractive job, Mike, if Terry Pegula would just allow himself, like, would allow an experienced GM that to have the autonomy to run the organization in their vision, not his. And that is the problem.
And who's having a great season this year? Your best players are having good seasons. Darlene, Thompson, Tuck, Zucker, they're all having good seasons, and the team's in last place because there's so many other problems. If you can build around your core, you've already seen who your core is. I just named most of them, plus Paterka, plus, you know, Power someday. They could be there, but so many other guys have stepped back, and that's a real problem. They have to figure out building around their top guys.
And part of that is the coach. I mean, when you think about Don Granato, they elevated Jack Quinn. Like, Jack Quinn and Zach Benson, those are two guys that Don Granato really exercised patience with and really wanted to bring them along and put them in prominent roles despite a lack of production. Lindy Ruff is not willing to just give them a top six spot while they're fighting through it and learning in the NHL. So I think there is a little bit of a disconnect there where if you're Lindy Ruff, you're looking at these two guys and you're thinking, like, if I could have veterans instead of those two and, you know, guys who contribute and score and leadership, that would be great. But you put me in a spot where I have, like, you can't put them in the American League. Right. So I think it's interesting how the decisions that were made under Don Granato's time as coach are really working against them now with a coach who's supposed to be the person getting them into the playoffs. And it's working against them in some ways. You know, Jack Quinn, you have good, he played well against the Oilers defensively. It's just been way too up and down. And Zach Benson, that's a head scratcher right now, Mike, because he just needs to be in the American League. And we'll see what happens once he reaches of age.
They're a victim of the rules there. I mean, he would have been in the American League last year. He was perfectly suited to be in the American Hockey League, like Yuri Kulik was, and Yuri Kulik was able to go to the AHL and play 140 games for the Amherst. And Zach Benson can't because of the rules. You certainly couldn't put him in junior, so the Sabres really got stuck.
On to topic number three, I want to talk about the Atlantic Division. And suppose, you know, we had discussed this prior to the game Monday, Sabres versus Oilers. Just in terms of what the teams in the Atlantic have done and whether or not the Sabres have any sort of path to moving up over the next year. You know, you look at Boston, obviously took a step back, although Middlestad has looked much better there than did in Colorado. But it's really, I think people in the league, I think Ken Campbell brought it up to us. How are they going to move up just based on what the other teams have done? And, I mean, Detroit didn't do anything. So it is an interesting conversation to have.
Well, and this is the frustration is the Sabres had two step-back years from big teams. One was Boston in their division. One was the New York Rangers. Who's going to give the Sabres room to jump up? And there's two big teams who've been perennial playoff teams who step back. Now, Boston, strangely enough, has played pretty well since their white flag trades. They beat Florida, they beat Tampa, and they're right there still. The Montreal Canadiens have been a surprise. Detroit was a surprise when they hired Todd McClellan. Now they're back to their ways under Derek Lalonde. They've lost six in a row going into the game against the Sabres. And Tampa, people thought Tampa was going to take a step back. Tampa looks like they could be a Stanley Cup team again. And right now, the biggest thing to me is not can the Sabres overcome some of these teams. It looks like the Sabres will never be able to crack the top three of this division for years. Isn't the top three of this division for years ahead going to be some form of Toronto, Florida, Tampa? So now you've got to figure out a way. Can you just finish fourth or fifth in your division, for crying out loud, instead of eighth? But right now, Montreal's rebuild has accelerated ahead of the Sabres. They beat the Sabres four times this year. Ottawa has accelerated ahead of the Sabres. Now the Sabres have beat them twice, outscored them 9-1. That's a little interesting. Boston, I don't know. I don't know what Boston's trying to do. Now they have a bunch of veterans. They make a bunch of trades, a bunch of free agent signings. They wave the white flag in certain guys. So it's hard to figure out, but you're right. The biggest thing to me is the frustration with the Sabres and Detroit having long playoff droughts. The only difference with the Red Wings' long playoff drought is they got a lot of Stanley Cups before it to kind of pacify the fan base a little, even though Steve Yzerman remains under the gun here. But it's tough. It's tough to see where do the Sabres fit. They've got to get to fourth or fifth in the division to have a wild card shot in the playoffs one of these years.
Player forward, the nucleus of their team, I think, is stronger than we look at Detroit. They're going to be counting on a lot of prospects in the next couple of years. They got some veterans who are going to be moving on. That's pretty clear. You mentioned Boston. I don't see them going anywhere. To me, Ottawa's the one where I don't know if Buffalo's going to Ottawa's, if they keep Brady Tkachuk and they're able to get in and convince him to stick around, they're probably pushing in the power rankings for next season. They'd be fourth for me. And yeah, it's going to be about who's fit. The Sabres need to figure out their decor. There's got to be some moves there to make the pieces fit a little bit better, get a right-handed shot. And the special teams, I mean, Detroit's still battling for a playoff spot, Mike, because their power play is one of the best in the league. Otherwise, their penalty kill's terrible.
Right.
You know, goals for and goals against per game, they're in the bottom 12 of the league. Like,
so I just the Sabres cannot believe this. I cannot believe it. I look at these numbers, and I see the Sabres have the most goals in the Eastern Conference among any non-playoff team.
Yeah,
you know, I think they were third or fourth in the league in 5-on-5 goals. The Sabres offensively rate as a playoff team. They don't rate as a playoff team on special teams and their defensive structure and goaltending, and that's what brings them down. There, you know, people say, "Oh, they need a top six scorer." Why? They score plenty of goals right now.
Yeah,
to me, they need defense. They need better structure from their defense. They need a power partner. I could certainly take another offensive player. Everybody could take another offensive player. It's not the number one priority. Everybody says, oh, how are they going to replace Skinner? Well, Zucker and McLeod replace Skinner's goals fine.
Yeah.
You know, so I think right now they have to figure out a way to figure out the special teams. They can't have a terrible power play year after year after year. And they got to keep the puck out of their net. And they just don't do it well enough.
And some of those deficiencies, that's why if you're going to make a change of general manager, you got to let the general manager make a decision on the coach. You just can't. You can't bring in a general manager and force a coach on them. Let them evaluate it, because you look at the deficiencies, Mike. Yeah, it's defensive structure and it's special teams. And that, yes, part of it is personnel, and they're going to continue to address that this summer, but it's also coaching. You know, Lindy Ruff is not the primary problem, but the coaching staff in general, whether it's assistants, but if you're going to bring in a new general manager, let them make a decision. If they keep Lindy Ruff, which I would expect a general manager would in that case, and change the coaching staff. You know, keep Seth Appert. I would keep Seth Appert, but I would bring in somebody experienced around that power play. There is too much skill on that top power play unit for them to be as bad as they are. Last topic, Jack Eichel's back in town on Saturday, which is always always an entertaining one. Victor Olsen's also going to be with the Golden Knights. Interesting team. They didn't make the big splash at the deadline everybody expected. But this is the latest game in just a murderous stretch in this. Like, the Sabres schedule the rest of the league. Is it the second most difficult in the league the rest of the
schedule in the league? Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's they got Ottawa two more times. You know, they got to go to Washington. Like, it is a gauntlet. And Vegas is, 12:30 Saturday.
All right. So Vegas is leading the Pacific Division. The Sabres just gave Vegas some help by beating Edmonton Monday night. A disappointing loss for Vegas Tuesday in Pittsburgh in overtime, a game they probably should have been winning. Samsonov gave them a terrible game and goal. That's a question. Where does Aiden Hill fit in? How can he help them win again? They're coming to Buffalo from Columbus. There's 8 or 9 teams, Lance, in my mind, that can win the Stanley Cup this year. And the Vegas Golden Knights are one of them. They were a first round loser last year after they won the cup in 23. It would be no surprise to me to see the Vegas Golden Knights go deep in the playoffs again this year. I'm not a believer in Edmonton. I think Edmonton's defense and especially goaltending really pegs them as a first round loser. I think the LA Kings can be a surprise team here. Let's not forget, the LA Kings have lost 3 home games in regulation all year. If you end up with an Edmonton-LA first-round series, that's going to be a heck of a series for Connor McDavid and company to get through. And I really think the Vegas Golden Knights are going to have a much easier way about them that first round. If they can win this Pacific Division and play Calgary, Vancouver, Minnesota, whoever ends up in these wild card, a lot of these struggling teams, they're going to have a much easier time in that first round. They're healthier than they've been. You know, Mark Stone isn't on LTIR finally. He's actually playing. I like Vegas's depth. I certainly like their defense, Alex Pietrangelo, guys like that. The goaltending is a question. Aiden Hill did win a Stanley Cup, though. Let's not forget that point. So Jack Eichel, you know, he'll get booed every time he touches the puck. We know why. That it's going to be like that his whole career, just like Tavares when he goes back to Long Island with the Leafs. It's just one of those things. And Jack Eichel, the biggest thing I would say about him is he has really developed, continued to develop as a 200-foot player. He's certainly worthy of Hart Trophy votes. I think he's had a great year. He's had, you know, a terrific year in terms of not just being an offensive player. I think he's really developed his defensive game. And I just like watching the Vegas Golden Knights play. The way they play under Bruce Cassidy is really interesting to me. But, you know, the Sabres will compete. They've competed with Vegas every time they play. They get up for Jack Eichel coming back to town. It's a great atmosphere, and it'll be a fun game.
Before we wrap, after the deadline, Stars and Panthers have to be the favorites to go to the Cup final, right?
I would think. I mean, you're talking Rantanen in Dallas. You're talking Brad Marchand, among others, in Florida. And I was in the Panthers locker room, and they were laughing it up before the game Saturday morning after the morning skate. They were all looking at the locker, Marchand's plate above his locker. And even Barkov said to us, boy, that's weird. You know, and then Sam Bennett posted on Instagram a picture of him and Marchand on the ice, like two scumbags, you know, because the reference of scumbag from last year's playoff. So I think that, you know, Marchand isn't a great player anymore, but he's a great guy to have in your room. And he can be a role player now with the Florida Panthers instead of being the head guy like he is in Boston. But the Panthers just know how to win. They have it going there. The practice facility is awesome. The coaching is awesome. The roster is deep. You know, you used to go to the building and there were tarps in the upper deck. The building's full. It's full of life. They just have it going. And, you know, I don't believe in the Leafs. I'm not buying the Leafs yet. I like Tampa. I think the Leafs really, it's kind of similar. The Leafs need to win the Atlantic Division, figure out how to win the Atlantic Division, play a wild card in the first round, and let Tampa and Florida beat each other's brains out so that the Leafs could have a tired team in the second round if they survive. But, yeah, I really think right now it's the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup until somebody takes it from them.
I think Stars. Yeah, I think the Stars are gonna do it. Their forward group is as deep as we've seen in a while. Their decor is also, I think, a little bit stronger than Florida's, but you're right. Hey, they've done it. It's going to be tough with Marchand coming back to the playoffs. So.
And Jake Ottinger. Jake Ottinger, I think, could steal playoff series.
Yeah, he's really good. Well, Mike, we'll wrap it up. We'll be back at it next week. Not sure what day we'll record. It's an awkward road trip. Sabres go to Boston, then they go all the way out west. What, Utah, Minnesota, Winnipeg? Is that
Utah,
the order?
Minnesota, Winnipeg, yep.
That's going to be an interesting one. So plenty more to talk about then. Thank you all for joining us. He's Mike Harrington. I'm Lance Lysowski. Take care.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.